Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here, as always. Before I share something that the Lord laid on my heart, I wanted to just share a little bit of the work, kind of the place we're at right now in Puebla. We've been there since 2010, and the Lord's done many, many wonderful things. There's growing pains, as always, with any church, with any work. But we're kind of in the stage right now where, kind of like when you have a kid and you have to kind of like start letting them pick out their own outfits and do their own thing. And as a mom, especially, I don't know about dads, but as a mom, that's hard, because you're, of course, I'm a micromanager at heart, but, you just want to like, no, not that or whatever. But there's also a lot of blessing in that too, because I've seen just tremendous growth in the women, especially, in the church in Puebla. They've just kind of stepped up and have been faithful on their own and, obviously wanting more, challenges and more, more growth in their leadership with the women there. And so, you know, John has to keep reminding me to let them go and let them do their own thing. And even if, you know, you maybe don't agree with that or whatever, the way they do it, just go for it. But in the midst of that, there's also, like a parent knows, some real failures among some of the church members that hurt. You see them stumble where you've warned them to be careful or whatever, just like with your child. And you have to let them, you know, at a certain point, let God just show them through their stumbling his faithfulness and hopefully redirect their paths. But, you know, I'm thankful for this past year. We've seen really a good strengthening of our faith and seeing just God working in them. Just another reminder that it's him that does the working. I'd like to read something out of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And starting in verse 13. It's something that I came across that, again, thinking about the stages sometimes get so boggled down with this stage of trying to have the Puebla church be ready to be on their own and of course hopefully God willing us go do something else, start something else over there. Sometimes that stage it just is like consumes your mind and these immense blessings of when you first start a church, when you first get things going, your eyes, your heart is focused on principios, the first things. Okay, yeah. Matthew 13:13. Read this and it just touched me. It says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables," Jesus here talking to his disciples, "because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see,
Amen.
And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Again, this just really was kind of like a wake-up call to me again. I know I could probably say that every year, but it's because, you know, I remember the first year that we went out as missionaries in 1994, Dara gave me like a little plaque that said, had the verse on it about not being weary and well doing for in due time. And I remember the first couple of years, like, oh, what do you mean weary about them? You know, like, it's all good. But, you know, over the years, it's just that labor. It is a labor. But, wow, this verse 16 just hit me. But blessed are your eyes, for they Amen. See, and your ears, for they hear. And I just see here that this perception and understanding has a tendency to be undervalued, by me. And maybe someone else has had this experience, but obviously Jesus here it just like to me it's just so clear that he wanted them to understand this this vision that they had, this thing that they had seen, and I applied it to my life as well as far as the gospel. And it's interesting to me that here he mentions two groups of people, and in the light, looking at this in the light of these two groups, the first one is those that have no desire to see or understand, unbelievers who grow dull of hearing, they're hard-hearted, they're actually self-blinding. They say, you know, that they have closed their own eyes lest they should see, to avoid understanding, and they don't want any part of being converted. And then the other group, the righteous men of the past, the prophets, who had the desire to see what the disciples were able to see, but it wasn't for them. It wasn't going to happen in their time. And so it just brings me back to, blessed are your eyes and your ears. And my eyes have been blessed. I have seen, things, but the main thing is I have an understanding, a knowledge, that I needed a savior. That came to me at a young age, but somebody had to give that to me. It wasn't somebody knocking on my door, but it was faithful parents. Amen. Who didn't try to just get me to repeat a prayer.
Yes. Amen.
And that knowledge of my need of a Savior altered my life.
Amen.
You don't feel it at 7 years old, but it does alter. Yes. And so I have that blessing of my eyes being open. And so I see this is a vision. And so I first see that it's a privileged vision. Because there's some that don't want to see, or they won't see, and there was some in the past that couldn't see where we are today and have that, have what we have. I also see that it shows to me that it's a valuable vision. It's costly and powerful. It's hope-worthy. Paul talks about this in Ephesians. I can just go to Ephesians real quick. In chapter 1, in verse 18, it mentions his prayer for them, or his desire for them, for this church. And it's very interesting because in 1:1, it makes it real clear who he's writing to. He says, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. These were people that were saved, and obviously not just recently saved. They had proven themselves faithful. But he still has a desire that they have even more knowledge. And it's not like a higher plane. It's just like maybe a refocus, you know? Like really, really, I hope, I pray that God would give this to you. In verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And when you think of revelation, it's not like some new thing here. I don't believe that. I believe it's just like, you know, sometimes we just need it to be revealed again how incredible and how privileged and valuable this vision is that we've seen with our eyes and heard with our ears and we've understood in our heart. And then he says in verse 18, this is a beautiful description that I've always loved. And I end up parking myself in Ephesians a lot. I don't know. It's just like I just stay there for a long time. And in verse 19, it says, 18, at the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Wow. I mean, this is what he was praying. This is his desire for these saints at Ephesus. And he says, For a purpose, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what's the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. This valuable vision, this valuable knowledge and revelation it can adjust maybe a vision that's fallen, and a vision that's gotten tired. And the hope of his calling, it's a motivating vision. Knowing that this isn't just anything we're taking to them. This message isn't just another story or another fairy tale or maybe something that they can, you know, examine and see if they want to change it a little bit. It's a hope. It's a hope of his calling. It's an understanding. There is hope. There is a way that a sinner can be saved. And praise the Lord that he's revealed that to him, that my eyes have seen this, my ears have heard it, my heart has known it. And then the riches of the glory of his inheritance. What a great cost. It's at a great worth. He paid a great price for his church,
amen,
for his children. And so this is a valuable inheritance, and it's a glorious one. But it's something rich, something that is worth something, is costly. It's costly in purchasing it, and it's costly in,
amen,
in keeping it and in valuing it. And then, of course, that wonderful verse about the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. And that same power that quickened us, which he talks about in chapter 1, in verse 1 of chapter 2, the same power that quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sin, all believers in every nation and every tongue are given that same opportunity to allow God's power to change them in order to be used by him. I mean, that's the ultimate thing I see in this book, but and also all over the Bible. And then in verse 18 and 19, another example of how valuable it is, and that Paul wanted these Ephesians to really grasp it. He talks about in verse 18 being able to comprehend, it's 3:18, sorry. Chapter 3, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, by the way, which passeth knowledge. It's always been interesting. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, Ephesians to me is kind of like just a recharge, just reminding us who we are, what we have in Christ. And to me, reminded me of the verse in Matthew about what I've seen and heard and know. Like I said, in Ephesians, I just am reminded again of Paul and his own personal testimony, his own personal burden. Because once you've seen something and heard something, then you're kind of like responsible. It's a committed vision. And so I see that it's entrusted, obviously, in Paul and his testimony in chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. I won't read everything but there. But he talks about that it made him a minister of the unsearchable riches of Christ. It has value to make all men see, he talks about. It makes others partakers of the promises in the gospel. And it transmits that power to the work done for him. And he gives all glory to God that gave him the grace that he needed to work for Christ and to work for the gospel, to make all men see what he was so blessed to see. To me, I just think, just as a reminder to myself, this privileged vision, this valuable vision, and this committed vision should always be a wake-up to me, should always be the thing that recharges me if I get stuck in my mind of whatever stage we're in planting churches and trying to help out the brethren there. Because this revealed knowledge should lead to a desire or a burden, that compassion to tell others. And that sense of responsibility. I read somewhere that a military general, I think, talked about the word responsibility. Breaking it down is, do you have the ability? Well, then what's your response to that ability? And praise God, we do only through his power have the ability to tell, to speak what we've heard, what we've seen, and what we've known. He's enabled us. That compassionate response, I think, is what pleases him. And so what do we speak and tell? Well, there's so many verses in the Bible. It's basically what we've seen, what we've heard, what we understood, and what we now know, the solid foundation. Just going to mention a few verses, and I won't turn there. In John 3:11, it says, "We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen." Acts 4:20, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." And in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And 1 John 4:13-14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." What a knowledge, what a blessing, what a privilege to know these things, and now to be able to take it to someone else. I just want to share a story that we just got back from. Well, on our way up, we stopped at Leon for a conference, and this just brought it home to me again, because my mind being focused on that, trying to let go and watching mistakes and hoping that they come back, and just forgetting those first things that happen in a church and in a believer's heart. I met a sister there that they had had baptisms that day, and her sister was getting baptized, and she had gotten saved 2 years ago, and for all this time, she's been consistently going to the house to witness to her sister and brother-in-law and her nephew. And she's consistently getting thrown out of their house, and she returns and returns and returns. And her nephew would even come out with his picture of the Virgin and stick it in her face and say, "This is my God. I'll never come to your God, and I don't need your God." She was sitting there looking at me with just a wonder on her face. Said, "This is a God. Amen. My sister's getting baptized, and my brother-in-law is right there in line, and there's her son too."
Amen. Wow. Amen. 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 Amen.
Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That there are still others who hear, see, and then they know they need to tell somebody else. And I'm just thankful that we have that opportunity. And I want to thank the church, because I feel like this church has, for a long time, seen that vision, had that vision. And because of your vision, we've been able to have a part. And I just thank you for your support, for your prayers, for your love, and ask you to keep Puebla in your heart. And we love y'all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Karen. For those of you that didn't know, we are on the first meeting of our annual World Mission Conference, and the emphasis this week is on world evangelism, on getting the gospel. We're emphasizing not simply just witnessing to our neighbor. That's something we ought to be doing all year long. We are specifically looking this week to challenge ourselves, remind ourselves about our obligation to other areas, countries that cannot pay us back, like you were talking about. And God has given us incredible opportunities in the past. Our job is not done, and if anybody has any doubts about that, then you just got to understand that we are still here. Jesus Christ has not yet returned, and so we are still obligated to occupy till he come, and we're still obligated to do everything in our power to be about his business. And, of course, we get busy, and we get forgetful, and we get sidetracked, and we get distracted, and we have a host of other things come into our life that makes us put other things in probably more importance than they need to be. So this week, we are going to be reminding ourselves. So we're going to be having missionary speakers this morning, tonight at 7 o'clock, every night this week at 7 o'clock, and then next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and then next Sunday night. I don't remember. Do we have a Lord's Supper the last Sunday night? I screwed up on the prayer meeting, so I wanted to make sure I had this thing right. Now, we never do Lord's Supper on this, but yeah. So we're looking forward to a good week, and we are planning dinner on the grounds today, which those of you that have come and prepared food, we do want to emphasize that if you haven't brought any food, don't feel bad. We've got plenty there. We'd really love for you to stay and to eat with us and fellowship with us. And that would be a great honor on our part to have you stay. And we want you to do several things. We want you to be praying for these meetings. Prayer is cannot be emphasized too heavily. And even though the prayer meetings are over, we really need you to be praying for these meetings. That God would do His will. We really want to be open to the Lord's leading and His guiding during these meetings. The other thing, and I know we've just spent a lot of money getting the repairs made on the church, and it might be that you're weary of giving because of the obligations that we've had. But we want you, we're not asking visitors that have just shown up, we're not asking you for a dime, we're talking about the people in this assembly. We want you to have a financial part. We have asked these missionaries to come from Mexico, to come from Poland, and so we are obligated to give them as good of a love offering as possible and send them on their way. So we want you to be thinking about that and be as generous as you possibly can. We are also going to have the offering box. Normally it's closed on nights, but we're going to have it open every night this week so that you'll have opportunity to give. And other announcements we'll be making throughout the week. So with that said, this morning we've already had two speakers. We're going to have one final speaker, and that's going to be John Castillo. He's been in Mexico now since, 94. So hadn't been that long ago. It seems like just yesterday you were there. And I just surrendered to preach and I went to the mission field, but I guess it has been a few years. You still look young. That's what throws me off, you know. But we're going to have John Castillo come and bring our last message. And then after that, we'll have instructions for the noon meal. Oh, before John speaks, we're going to have some special music.
Bless him, Lord.
When Brian's giving announcements, take everything with a grain of salt.
Amen.